laissez-faire, and other French words.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. What do you know? The banks struck a deal on their own this morning. Wells Fargo says it's buying Wachovia for $15 billion in stock. Yeah, I know Citigroup was supposed to buy Wachovia with help from the FDIC, but apparently Wells and Wachovia were having an affair. They did this without the government's help. Chris Whalen analyzes risk for banks. He says it's a good sign.
Well, it says that private capital is starting to get interested in these assets at these valuations. Wachovia is a steal. A year ago, they were one of the best performing banks in the United States. So I look at Wells and Wachovia as a tremendous combination.
It's not so good for Citigroup, which has been losing a lot of money. Citigroup shares are down 10%. 159,000 jobs went bye-bye last month. That's the most in 5 years, according to the Labor Department stats out this morning. And in France, the numbers people said France has officially entered a recession. Stocks are up in the early going, though. That jobs report was supposed to be worse. The Dow has climbed 132 points already, 10,615. The NASDAQ is up almost 2%, about 36 points. The S&P 500 has put on 20. European shares are up a fraction, but in Asia today, the market's closed 2 to 3% lower. Everybody's anxious about the House vote today on the rescue package. We're joined now by Republican Mike Conaway from Texas as Marketplace continues its coverage of the financial crisis. He voted against the House bill on Monday. Congressman, how are you going to vote today?
Well, I'm still undecided. You know, the increase in the FDIC insurance helped. That was a change that I wanted to have happen. And the tax extenders, if they were to come over on a standalone bill just like that, I'd vote for it in a heartbeat. It's creating some problems, though, back in the district because it kind of looks like Washington, as usual, they're trying to buy votes.
Well, those incentives that were tossed into this package were designed to get the support of people like you. Are you saying that's backfired?
Well, no. I mean, I'm just saying that it hurt with folks back home because it just looks bad. You know, I should be able to vote for this bill on a standalone basis because I think it's the right thing to do.
Well, if you do vote yes, what will have changed your mind?
Well, the continuing risks that I see to the underlying liquidity markets, there is significant risk to that money flow that happens every night. That whole system that I used to be a part of when I was in banking, and every night companies have excess cash that they loan to companies who have needs for it. That happens every single night. It's kind of the oil or the lubricant that keeps the gears of this economy moving. And if for some reason that stops happening, then that'll send shockwaves. There'll be lots of jobs lost. Value on Wall Street, on the securities markets will evaporate. And that's the thing that's been trying to avoid.
Congressman, what have your constituents been telling you since you voted against the bailout package on Monday?
I had two town hall meetings in Andrews, Texas on Wednesday, and you don't get more middle America than Andrews, Texas. At the start of each of those meetings, a lot of congratulations, back slapping, you know, way to go, you did the right thing, all this kind of stuff. And so as I would walk them through my concerns about why we're dealing with this, the mood got a lot more somber. They became a lot less assured of themselves that they had the right answer, that no was the right answer. And by the end of the meeting, the single biggest or most consistent comment was, "Wow, I'm glad you're making the decision and not me." Some of the tone of the calls changed a little bit yesterday, according to my staff, in that folks were mad about the tax package. It's clouded the issue somewhat with respect to a much, much bigger decision, and that is, do you vote for or against the bailout?
Congressman Mike Conaway, Republican from Texas, thanks for joining us.
Scott, good to be with you.
This is the Morning Report for Friday, October 3rd on Marketplace.org. Tomorrow, European leaders meet in Paris. They'll try to come up with a unified front for next week's G8 meeting with bank executives and finance ministers. But Europe's been having a tough time agreeing on anything to do with this financial crisis. Megan Williams reports.
One big issue is how or whether to set up more coordinated banking oversight in Europe. The European Central Bank, along with British, German, Italian, and French leaders, hope to agree on a unified plan. The lack of common oversight was apparent this week when the Irish government guaranteed all bank deposits. Some customers began shifting assets into the state-backed banks. Europe-wide critics have complained it created an unfair advantage and that Europe needs to agree on what its banks can and can't do. So far, there's little agreement, nor is there agreement on the French suggestion that Europe set up a more than $400 billion bailout fund. For now, both Germany and Britain say it's not needed. I'm Megan Williams for Marketplace.
Are we on the road to ruin? I certainly hope not, but we've dispatched two reporters to hit the road, drive across country, and find out what Americans are thinking and doing right now. Just about every day, a group of seniors gathers at a Charlotte, North Carolina restaurant. They drink coffee and discuss the events of the day, like the bailout. Marketplace's Amy Scott sat in on the latest coffee talk.
Yeah, it went from 3 pages to 500 pages.
The morning after the Senate approved its $700 billion bailout bill, it was all Don Brown and his friends at the Ballantyne Village Panera could talk about. The retired businessman was especially bothered by the earmarks he'd heard senators had squeezed into the package.
Now they're throwing in $6 million for an arrow company that makes arrows, archery arrows. $160 million for a rum company down in Puerto Rico.
Most mornings, Brown and a group of anywhere from 8 to 20 seniors show up here. They sip coffee from personalized mugs. The talk ranges from good restaurants to grandchildren. But these days, the economy dominates the discussions. Bob Brown, a retired labor mediator and no relation to Don, says Congress had to do something.
The banks are not able to move their money. And you and I can't get a loan, you know, you can't buy a washing machine or a refrigerator or something on credit. And if that happens, everything dries up, people get laid off, and it continues, it mushrooms.
Brown says he's fared okay in the downturn. He's Catholic and says he got a lucky piece of investment advice from upstairs.
I guess the Holy Spirit told me to take my money out of the stocks last November and put it in CDs and stuff. And thank God I didn't put it into an AIG or something.
Don Brown did invest in AIG. He bought stock after the federal government loaned the company $85 billion. He says he doubled his money. But not everyone in the group is so comfortable. A few months ago, Sue Thompson lost her job in the insurance business.
Luckily enough, right now, my husband and I are okay. We're being very careful. There's one thing we never do. No credit cards.
There are several centuries worth of collective wisdom in this group. And having been through recessions and stock market crashes, one thing they all agree on is that we'll get through this, too. In Charlotte, North Carolina, I'm Amy Scott for Marketplace.
The U.S. is not the first country to go through a financial episode. Japan in the mid-90s, we've heard plenty about that. But there's another recent case that had a much happier ending. Marketplace's Elisa Roth went to Stockholm to hear the story.
It was 1992. Sweden, long known for its strong social state and solid economic growth, found itself staring down a financial disaster. Robert Bergqvist was an economist at the Swedish Central Bank then.
We had a banking crisis, we had a currency crisis, we had liquidity crisis, all these kind of different crises at that time.
Cheap credit had helped create a real estate bubble, and it was starting to collapse. Banks were starting to fail. Do you feel like you've heard this story already? 15 years later, we know how this one turns out. Bo Lundgren was the Minister for Fiscal and Financial Affairs at the time of the crisis.
First of all, you come to a situation in a crisis where you have a loss of credibility, and you have to try to restore that credibility. The other thing is that you have to see to it that the capital base for lending is restored.
To do that, the government set up a special agency to administer the help. It insisted that shareholders step up first, and then dumped massive amounts of money into the system. It ended up taking over a couple of banks. All in all, the government put up more than $18 billion. but it hung on to the assets for a long time and managed to recover almost the whole thing. Some say it even recovered all the money. A decade and a half later, economist Bergqvist looks on the rescue almost fondly.
We're still talking about the crisis in the early 90s as something good for Sweden. It was painful. We lost lots of economic growth and people get unemployed. But I think that it was a kind of starting point for a new era concerning economic development.
Many, including Bergqvist and Lundgren, say that the changes that came out of the crisis will help Sweden through what could be tough times ahead. So can the U.S. pull off a similar coup? Former Minister Lundgren has one worry. In 1992, his government had just been elected into office, so nobody was thinking about the next election. Congress, are you listening? In Stockholm, I'm Elisa Roth for Marketplace.
If you'd like to weigh in on this, share your thoughts with us at marketplace.org and check out our blogs. I've started a new one on this financial mess. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for listening and enjoy your weekend.
American Public Media.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? Don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.